If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Required Listening. I'm Scott Goldman, the executive director of the Grammy Museum. Each week in the Clive Davis Theater, I have the privilege of talking to great artists about their careers, their inspirations, what motivates them to make great music. And that's what we're bringing you on Required Listening. On today's show, if you happen to be anywhere near a radio last summer, you could not avoid the song Despacito. The Luis Fonsi, Daddy Yankee, Justin Bieber smash would top the Billboard Hot 100 and ultimately secure a Grammy nomination for Song of the Year. Now, what goes into making a great song like Despacito? Now, you probably know it when you hear it, but what's the process? On today's show, I'll talk to Erica Ender, a co-writer on Despacito and one of the most prolific songwriters composing in the Latin market today. Born in Panama to a Panamanian-American father and Brazilian mother, she grew up in a multicultural and, get this, trilingual home, certainly an advantage when you're writing songs in Spanish, Portuguese, and English. And as a singer, in her own right, she's released 5 albums, and her musical versatility, her ability to go between cultures and languages, has made it possible for such stars as Daddy Yankee, Luis Fonsi, Gloria Trevi, Cheyenne, and many others to interpret her songs. Now, this is a special episode in that Erica and I sat down during Grammy week, in fact, just a couple days before the Grammy telecast, so you can imagine the excitement that she was experiencing being a Song of the Year nominee. So let's listen to my conversation with Erica Ender.
Okay, well, we're here at the YouTube Space in New York ahead of the 60th annual Grammy Awards. And I'm so pleased to be with Song of the Year nominee, Erica Ender.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And what do you think when you hear someone say Song of the Year nominee?
Amazing. The dreams do come true. You know, I came here 20 years ago from Panama. I grew up in a very musical family and a very multicultural family, let's say it like that. Full of music, and my dream was to be an artist, an international artist, and a songwriter as well, a composer. And I came in with my dreams, you know? And now being able to do this crossover as a songwriter in Spanish is even more incredible than whatever I dreamt about. So it's a confirmation that dreams do come true and that you have to do your best throughout the whole path in order to, you know, have this rewardings from heaven, because I see it like that.
Well, and it certainly didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You know, this is the result of lots of hard work.
25 years.
Yeah. Tell me, because I want to talk about the song.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about, you know, your career and the other things that you're doing.
Sure.
But tell me when you first met Luis Fonsi. How long have you known him?
At least 10 years. Uh-huh. We've been friends for a long time. He has recorded songs that we have written together.
Yes.
And we have a great relationship. I love him so much, and his wife and the whole family. Mm. He's a gentleman. Yeah. He's an amazing warrior, and he's super talented. Mm.
Tell me what that means to you. What does warrior mean to you?
He's a warrior because he knows what he wants and he fights for it. Mm. And he's been a long, long time as well. So this is a big reward for him too, for his whole career. Yeah. He has had, I mean, a lot of achievements throughout his career. Mm-hmm. But this song opened the world to all of us.
Yes.
So he deserves it.
And really, it's remarkable, and I want to ask you about this, that you know, here we have a song in Spanish.
Yeah.
Huge smash on the radio. Yeah. Now nominated for a Grammy Award. Is it your sense that Latin music is, there's more acceptance of Latin music in the mainstream?
I think so. And I'm so happy to see that. We can't get all the credit because before us, there are several things that happened. Gloria Estefan, for example, she's Latin and she did an amazing job with Latin rhythms and everything. Ricky Martin as well. Macarena made it throughout the world as well. But the difference between Gloria and Ricky and Shakira is that usually we Latin people, we were looking for the crossover, but always, you know, writing in English. That was the main goal, to write in English something that would work. And in this case, the song is in Spanish, and it broke every single record. It's been the longest number one, tied up with Mariah Carey's One Sweet Day on Billboard.
Yeah, the Hot 100, yes.
Yeah, the Hot 100, yeah. And everything that happened in Spanish. I think that it has something special that did open a door. We're now in a different world. We have everything in the palm of our hands, and we can listen to whatever we want in any language we want. So I think it's amazing that finally the mainstream opened with Despacito. And now, for example, Luis Fonsi is singing another song in Spanish with Demi Lovato. Mm-hmm. So I think it's amazing. And I think that we're in a world that should have less boundaries, you know, and that should share more art and more love. And I'm really happy to be part of this moment.
Well, it certainly speaks to making connections among people that I don't think existed before. But I want to talk about the writing of the song. Mm-hmm. Because I think Fonsi had
the initial idea.
Tell me the genius idea. Yeah, tell me about that conversation.
Yeah, I went to his house. I was living in LA back in the time. Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago, September 15, 2015.
We know the date.
September 15, 2015. I remember because we did a Facebook Live. At that moment, we were so happy while doing the song that I was like, oh my God, we have to post something. And then we did this Facebook Live saying we got a hit here. But we never thought that this would become the snowball, the endless snowball that it became. So we started just, you know, looking for ideas and things. I brought him some tracks that I had. And then he goes like, you know what? None of this is, you know, getting my attention as much as this idea that I had this morning. Mm. And he sings to me, Despacito, that he brought that. And he tells me, vamos a hacerlo en una playa en Puerto Rico. And I answered, hasta que la ola grite, ay bendito. You don't know what that means.
No, I have no idea.
Puerto Ricans do. So the thing is that we started laughing out of that. And he had an idea of what he wanted for the chorus, but we changed some notes because it was too low. And a different phrasing. But at least, I mean, it was the perfect material for us to write a hit out of that. And I thought it was genius. The Despacito, I thought it was genius. So then out of that, we started doing everything from scratch, looking for the whole concept, trying to do something that would take him out of his comfort zone. I mean, people...
How do you do that?
From the audience angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he used to be a pop singer, a ballad singer, and this would take him out of that. Looking for some urban fusions, which is what's going on right now.
Sure.
So, but keeping his essence, you know, and he's such a versatile artist. So I think that it was perfect for him. He dances, he sings whatever you can give him, whatever he wants to express. And I think it was an amazing job we did together with a guitar at his home studio in a very organic way. Hmm. Not thinking of what was the outcome, just thinking of putting the best we could in something where we were having fun and being as responsible as possible as well, because this kind of genre could be very aggressive with women. Mm. And he's a very smart guy. He usually writes with women so he can have that angle.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said, "My head should be cut off."
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Well, I want to talk about that because, you know, the song is an interesting mix of Fonzie's, you know, sort of pop influence.
Yeah.
And then later we bring Daddy Yankee and reggaeton into it.
Yeah.
And those are both, and please don't take this the wrong way, these are, you know, male-oriented perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, how did you bring, you know, or make sure that the female perspective was
being careful
addressed
with the lyrics? Uh-huh. There's poetry there. There's elegance. There's a very classy way of saying things that could connect right away with people, but at the same time, it has art. Mm. It is a song that has art and that could fit any genre. Mm. I sing it in a very acoustic way, as you saw me, and it's from the heart, and you can, you know, fall in love with it, or you can dance with it, or whatever you want to do with it, because it has that whole thing that makes a song special to go throughout the world. And we didn't know that the moment we were doing it. Yeah. We had no idea what happened there.
But you knew.
We're just grateful.
Yeah, but you guys, you had a sense you had written a hit.
Yeah, because you feel it. You feel it on your skin when you're doing. But normally when you get together, you feel like you're doing a hit. Mm. Unless, you know, the muse is not as, it's not flowing as you were expecting. Normally, I mean, when you have this much time on this career, you know when you have a hit in your hands. But you never know how high it's going to fly.
I mean, we did get a completely different perspective on the song in your performance here today. A beautiful ballad.
Yeah.
it gives a, you know, kind of a different lens yeah. on the emotion
exactly.
of the song. When you go out in your own performances, is that how you'll perform
yes.
the song?
Normally I do it like that.
Yeah. Does it
like a singer-songwriter, you know,
right.
perspective.
Right. Does it connect more for you singing it that way rather than...
It's the way I felt it,
yeah.
you know? And I didn't want to do the same thing, and I was releasing a CD as well, a singer-songwriter CD that was recently nominated for the Latin Grammys in this past year, 2017. And... I decided to record the song because my fans were asking me to. Normally, when I write for another artist, I just let them, you know, have their space. And whenever time goes by, I sing the songs that I wrote for them or with them in my concerts or in a CD, but like 2-3 years after, you know? And this time was different because everyone decided to record Despacito. Yeah. And then my friends were like, are you going to record it or not? And since I sang it and I uploaded a Facebook Live as well, singing it live, it became viral. And they became like, okay, are you going to do it or not? So I decided to put it as a bonus track. But it's the way I felt it. And with a very acoustic way of saying things, because I really wanted people to focus on the message, not on whatever was going on. You know, around. There's too much noise nowadays.
Yeah. So you've done all manner of co-writing with all kinds of artists, not just Luis Fonsi. And there's an art, clearly, as you've described it, there's an art to working with another artist to achieve an artistic goal. And I'm wondering, what is it, what do you think it is about you that makes you a good collaborator?
I think that art is made for sharing, not for competing. Whenever you sit down, looking for the best thing for the song. It's like having a marriage. Whenever you get married, you're looking for the best thing for your family, for your baby, you know? To me, a song is a baby, and I have to take care of it. And whomever I'm working with has to have that same frequency, you know? So we're doing the best thing we can in order for that baby to shine. So I don't write with ego involved. Yeah. I write with my heart, and I have no filters between my heart and my hands whenever I'm writing a song.
That's great. That's great. So the song, you know, Despacito, you know, recorded, kind of had a little life of its own, and then along comes
Daddy Yankee.
Well, Daddy Yankee first. First.
Fonsi has that all that credit. Right. After we finished the song with the guitar and everything, I mean, he's, as I was telling you, he's a warrior, and he's a guy that is very smart, very clever. He knows what he likes, and he knows what he wants. And he was the one who decided to work with the producers the way he wanted the song. And then he decided to call Daddy Yankee, which... I mean, his collaboration was genius as well. He did the rap and the pasito, pasitos, which is genius as well. And then like 3 or 4 months went by, and suddenly one day he calls me, Erica, Justin Bieber wants to record a remix of the song out of nowhere. And we already had the Portuguese version ready and the English version written. We were looking for collaborations in the Anglo market. Universal was looking for the collaborations. I think they had like two artists in mind. And suddenly Justin Bieber pops in. So he tells me, what do you think? I'm like, are you crazy? Go ahead. I mean, if you're happy with it, I'm more than happy with it. And when he tells me he's going to record it mainly in Spanish, I was like, oh my God, that's such a blessing, because it's going to be a crossover where Latin music gets to be in the place it deserves.
That was a big moment
yeah,
to make sure that he sung it in Spanish. So I'm wondering, did he ask for your advice on the Spanish?
Who?
Justin.
No. I haven't met him. Can you believe?
You haven't met him?
No. No, not yet.
We need to arrange this somehow.
Yeah, right away.
Right? Right?
No, we're working together at the same time. We haven't met yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you finally heard the track with Justin on it.
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought
that whatever they added was amazing, because it was kind of like an intro for people to understand what was going on with the rhythm and everything, and they took him to the Latin part. I think his pronunciation was pretty good. He did an amazing job. Yeah. He didn't have that R sound that normally the strong sound that normally Americans have.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job.
Yeah.
An amazing job. Well, and I think it was, everything flowed, you know?
The results are remarkable. So worldwide radio smash, which makes me think, and I'm interested in when was the first time you heard a song of yours on the radio?
Oh my God. Well, in Panama, when I was really young. I was like 16 years old when I recorded my first CD. Mm. So in Panama, but I mean, in a bigger picture, the first thing was an English version that I wrote for a smash hit called Apuro Dolor, written by Omar Alfano, which is Panamanian as well. Mm-hmm. Some by four recorded that, and they sang it at the Grammys as well and everything. So that was the first time, right when I came to the U.S., like almost 2 years after I got here. And then Candela, which was of my own inspiration, collaborating with another composer. That was the song that led me buy a house, car, everything, and live out of music, you know, start living out of music. Because as I told you, I came from Panama, where the platform is pretty different.
Yeah, it was hard to kind of
find
your footing.
Internationalize.
Yeah.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
And you've talked about the challenges of, you know, being a young songwriter, young female songwriter.
Yeah. Still.
Let's talk about that and being taken seriously.
Yeah, well, taken seriously, I think that's a matter of your attitude. Mm. And I always try to be as responsible as possible, as professional as possible. I try to, you know, be as a happy person at the same time, a very social person. But whenever it's got to do with work, I deliver. Mm. I always deliver. But when I came to the U.S. at the beginning, when I was knocking doors, I was 22 years old. So pretty young, a girl. There were no women in this industry, in the Latin music. I mean, there have been several, but in certain moments of time, it's not like, oh, where are the female songwriters?
Right. You I'll go hang
find
with them.
You wouldn't find that. Right after that came Claudia Brandt, who has made an amazing career as well. Mm. But we were like two, three, I mean, that were, you know, like knocking doors around. So I started sending songs for male singers to the A&R departments of the label, record labels. They would call me to say, you know, it's beautiful, but it's too feminine. I was singing the demos and I was sending Erica Ender and the demos. So whenever you really know what your mission is about, I mean, I knew that I was made for this and I would look different ways of getting there. So I just decided to go to a different record label, ask for a male singer to sing the songs, and I sent it like E. Ender.
Ah, okay.
Suddenly the song started to get a placement. So then I understood, I didn't take it in a bad way, because I do believe that anyway, I mean, it's a men market. But at the same time, I owe a lot to a lot of men, you know? So I didn't see it as a feminist. I saw it like lack of vision. The industry wasn't ready for women to take those places. And I said, you know what? I'm going to deliver. I'm going to deliver. And my talent and my work is the one that is going to open the doors. And as you see, that's what happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Throughout the years.
So you have a whole solo career, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Released a record, and the name of the record in
the
May.
The last one?
The last one.
Yeah, Tatuajes, which means tattoos.
Right, yes. But we were mentioning just before we started, you were talking about these are, you know, kind of the tattoo, the internal.
The soul tattoos.
The internal tattoos.
Yeah.
That one acquires.
Yes, throughout
over time. Mm-hmm. As you look back now, and you're writing songs based on, you know, kind of experience and wisdom to a certain degree. Have you changed as a songwriter?
Well, I think we all change as humans and as professionals, but the essence remains the same. I'm the same child, the same little kiddo that is always, you know, connected with the universe and seeing wonders in everything. You know, the kids used to have a lot of imagination, and we, the adults, are the one that are cutting them off. So I decided that I wanted to always be that little girl. I mean, using every skill that life gives me, understanding from the experiences, and of course, getting, you know, bigger in certain ways. But at the same time, I just wanted to keep that girl. So I forgot what you asked me.
Changing as a songwriter.
Well, I've changed for sure. But the essence is the same.
Yeah.
The essence is that inner child.
Yeah.
The essence is trying to understand and connect with other people's hearts. Trying to always find the way of writing my own soundtrack, but other people's soundtrack. And understanding the responsibility I have in my hands. Because you don't get a talent to get millionaire or you know, to look for fame. There's a purpose, a major purpose. And you have to find it throughout your life. One day, through experiences, through whatever happens, you get to understand that you're here not for yourself, but for others at the same time. And that music is for everyone.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying resonates in that I had a fascinating conversation a couple of weeks ago with a guy named Jimmy Iovine. Jimmy Iovine produced and engineered records with John Lennon and Patti Smith and Bruce Springsteen, and went on to found Interscope Records. I mean, this guy is one of the most successful people in music. And we were talking about his career, and he said the one thing he kept in mind, and this blew me away, the one thing he's kept in mind the entire time is he wants to be of service to the people that he was working with in the studio, of service to the artists on his label, to his business partners. I found that just fascinating.
You need that. The more, I always say to my people, the more I travel, the more I meet people, the more I get to write. Because you get to see more stories, more ways of thinking. Whenever you go from here to, I don't know, Asia or Europe, you get to understand that the essence is just the same. We're all the same. It just changes the angle, the way of seeing things. You have the same tongue speaking another language, the same body dancing another rhythm, you know, the same food prepared in a different way. And at the end, we're all the same, you know?
Yeah.
So it's amazing to understand how people being the same can think in a different way. And whenever you get to understand that and decodify, you know, the way of expressing whatever your art, you get to connect with people. But whenever you get to understand that, and besides that, beyond that, you understand that the essence is the same, then you get to connect with the world.
So tell me, speaking of the little girl, who were your musical heroes growing up?
Oh, my God.
Who did you hear?
So many people, like, you have no idea. we could say names the whole day here, because my dad was half American, half Panamanian. So he used to listen to Nat King Cole, Richard Chamberlain. Frank Sinatra was his favorite, for example. And then I used to listen to everything that had to do with Mexico, Puerto Rico, merengue, salsa, jazz, smooth jazz. From my mom's side, she's Brazilian. So imagine bossa nova, samba, everything. So there was a big mix that I'm really grateful for, because it all stood right here in the back of my mind. And that's why nowadays the professional, you know, gets that benefit, because I get to go from Spanish to Portuguese to English, or from one genre to another without a problem. And it has to do with my upbringing.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of people that I liked, like, for example, On the Brazilian side, I used to listen to Caetano Veloso, to Gilberto Gil, you know, to Antonio Carlos Jobim, and then Frank Sinatra on my dad's side, and from Los Panchos to whatever, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, I think they were amazing. They were one of my favorite artists ever. I admired so much Gloria Estefan for what she did, you know,
and all of that finds its way.
All of that defines me.
Yeah.
I'm not from one side. I'm open to
all the way up to Song of the Year nominee at the 60th Grammy Awards. Erica, thank you so much for coming and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Songwriters must have a sixth sense, and I love the fact that she and Fonse knew pretty quickly that they were writing a hit. It's remarkable how, when you speak to songwriters, it seems the best songs come so quickly. And I would encourage you to check out Erica as an artist in her own right. Her latest album is called Tatuajes, and you'll find her remarkable acoustic version of Despacito, which completely turns the song on its head. I encourage you to find that and give it a listen. And that's your required listening for today. As always, let's keep the conversation going on all the social platforms at Grammy Museum. If you plan to be in Los Angeles, I hope you'll come visit us. All the information about our exhibits, our programs, and activities are at our website, GrammyMuseum.org. Finally, thanks to the team that makes required listening happen. Jason James, Jim Canella, Lynn Sheridan, Justin Joseph, Callie Weissman, Miranda Moore, Jason Ho, Kitrin Kearns, Chandler Mays, Nick Stumpf, and everyone at How Stuff Works. Until next time, I'm Scott Goldman.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.